Unfortunately, Chairman Randy Howard could not make it, but be patient with the Vice Chairman, and we'll get things right along here. So, calling the meeting to order, and can I ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So we will take the roll, and Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Freckleton. No, and then Trustee Howard will not be here as well. Trustee Kwiatek.
Here.
And Trustee Lubai.
Here.
And I will count myself as present. All right, is there any public participation today?
No requests.
No requests, all right. We have the consent agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the consent?
We need to go back one. We got public hearing on policies.
Oh, sorry, public hearing on policies.
That would be Robbie Marquinez will come up to present that. This is the second reading on that policy change.
Good afternoon. We're presenting policy 5.08, contracting authority for the second reading. Basically, this changes the applicable dollar amount, which the President, Dr. Labasso, may sign on agreements without the board's approval. That threshold amount has been increased to $195,000. So, any questions?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign? It stands approved. Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you.
Now we move on to the consent agenda. Are there any motions to or corrections? Want to take anything off? What do you have?
Motion to approve. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Stands approved. All right, we'll turn it over to the President for his update.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And I want to start with just a big thank you to all the faculty and staff. This is the meeting that kind of wraps up last year in terms of our finances and kicks off the new fiscal year. And big shout out to the finance department because they're knee deep in closing the books out and getting us ready for the next cycle. And again, we had a great commencement ceremony. Thank you for all that were able to attend. Every year it's the highlight of the year for us. It's why we do what we do. And we get to see students cross that stage. So, makes all of us, faculty, staff, administration, just proud to participate in those ceremonies. So those went well. we've went down to Miami to have a meeting with the State University System presidents, the chancellor of that system, as well as the presidents of the Florida College System, just to talk about collaboration and different ways we can articulate, do some work together and improve the transferability of, especially on our end, from our students to the university system. So that was a really good meeting. We did kick off our UCF master's information session, so we had a good turnout, and we should know here the next week if we have enough applicants. I think they were shooting for 20. We did have over about 25 express interest, so we'll see where that lands. So we're excited about that. And then coming, something that may come up in the future, we're working with Farooz got an afternoon program, and she's been charging, Farooz Hussaini, been really charging hard on the 3217 initiatives. So we had a meeting with her and school district to see if we can enhance the program where the students will be actually bused here, and we will hopefully be able to provide some tutoring in reading and math in particular to try to help those schools increase their so it's early discussions, but we're moving forward on that, and so there may be an MOU that has to be drafted to come to you. We're hoping to get that started in, you know, in late August with that. And that pretty much, and I'd like to introduce Lakeisha Holmes. Lakeisha, are you here? If you would stand up. Lakeisha Holmes is our new Associate Vice President for Arts and Sciences, which is the largest academic division we have at the college. She's an internal person, been with us how long now?
16 years.
16 years out of the math department, and has led some STEM grants and has done a wonderful job. So I just wanted to introduce you to the board, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Alrighty, includes just my update. So we'll move to, I'm pleased to present this proposal. I think, we did very well in legislative session. Our faculty and staff continue to work hard and do great things. So with that, I'd like to propose this salary increase.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Stands approved.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next item is the salary administration plan, and that comes to you every June for approval to implement for next year.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
All right, and my final item is the a little different this year. The state split it up. You approved part of it in April, I believe, and now the final part of the equity report. So we present that to you for your approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Stands approved.
Great. Thank you. So next is our facilities.
Yeah, we'll move on to facilities.
And Marty Cass will be representing.
You're really having to prepare this one this time.
It's great.
I was just going to say, Bob, that you guys might get a little tired of me this meeting. I'll be up here for a bit, but let's jump right in with facilities. Our first item is the capital improvement plan that we must bring forward each year with an update. This looks 3 years out, so you can see it's from the 2024, 25 through 26, 27, 3 year cycle. We have to prioritize. You can see the projects listed down there. First priority, the emergency services training center on our DeLand campus. Next up, welding technology and aircraft airframe power plant mechanics on New Smyrna Beach and Edgewater. And then the final one is the ATC diesel engine mechanics facility on our, on ATC campus. So again, these are all set forth by our educational plan survey that we must do once every 5 years. And this is the current priorities and needs. So we would need a board approval to get this submitted to the state by June 30th.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign. It's approved.
Thank you. Next up is the Building 100 Weber All Center roof replacement. This item was as a result of the Hurricane Ian damage, and what we've done is gone out to bid, competitive bid through our Garland, who's working on the college's behalf on all of our roofs. They have put it out. The lowest bid, as you can see, came in at $1,079,610. The college did have this item due to age and the deficiencies in the roof. We've had it all along on our deferred maintenance list, and we did get funded as part of the $13 million that we received last year for deferred maintenance through the federal pass-through funds. At that time, we just took our best estimate was $800,000 at the time we submitted that list. So we'll fund it up to $800,000 through the deferred maintenance funding. What we're asking in addition is the remaining $279,610 from board designated reserves in Fund 7. That would complete the roof replacement. Keep in mind, we'll be submitting all of these items for as part of our insurance claims with the consortium as well as FEMA. And those are in progress and doing well.
Do we have a motion?
Just a, well, go ahead, sorry.
So moved.
The second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry.
No worries.
Between you and I, we'll screw this up for sure. I can't remember, when was it put out for bid? The reason for the question is, you know, there's a lot has changed and some of this stuff has actually come down. So I'm just curious as to the timing. And is there a possibility that it could be lower?
The bids went out very, very recently, Bob. Yeah. So this is current pricing. We've actually gone through a number of roof replacements. As you know, the News Journal Center came earlier. We did Building 320. You'll see final payment coming up next. And then this Building 100 is the next in line. So,
it's in the last 60 days?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But usually when they come to you all, it's, you know, getting done just prior to preparation for the meeting.
That's my only question.
Any other discussion? All right. Is there, well, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. It's approved.
Thank you. Okay, staying along the common theme of roof replacements, this is our Health Science Hall, Building 320, also on the Daytona campus. Garland also assisted with this project. We're now to the point of final payment to the tune of $429,965.24. Our college facility staff has inspected the roof, all looks good, and we're prepared to make final payment upon the board's approval.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign? It's approved.
And I'll just emphasize again, that's part of our insurance claims. We expect to get reimbursement on that particular roof. I was told recently on our News Journal Center, I think we're set to get our first insurance payment to the tune of about $700,000 for the News Journal Center roof. So the insurance funds should start trickling in, which is great for us. Okay, next item, state requirements for educational facilities. We call the SREP inspection. Again, this is an annual inspection that must be done. The consortium sends a group of independent inspectors to our campuses for a week. Three inspectors come in, look at all our campuses. They concentrate on three items: fire safety, casualty, and sanitation, and portables. I'm pleased to report, similar to last year where we had a total of 21 deficiencies, we again came in, different items of course, but they came in at also with 21 deficiencies total, which is a very low number for us historically and for our campus of this size period. So big shout out to our facilities and maintenance staff. They have the ability to walk around with the inspectors. Anything that you can fix right there on site while they're inspecting, you can do that and it'll come off the list and not be counted as a deficiency. So the remaining items, yeah, we're gonna set the wheels in motion to get everything completed by September 1st. So this SREP inspection report, you'll have a summary in your packets of the campuses and the items that were marked. But we'll need a board action on this item as well.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's a motion. We have a motion and second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign? Approved.
Thank you. Next up, Deltona Campus Building 1 Welding Lab approval of architectural design contract. If you recall, last month we brought to the board the top ranked qualified firms. Spiesel Architect Group was the top ranked firm, and we would now seek board approval to enter into the contract for $133,050 Our facilities group has negotiated that contract between May and now, and we're ready to enter in and start the work.
So moved.
Second. Motion and second. Any discussion?
Just to comment that this is the initiative of bringing welding to that Deltona campus.
Great. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Approved.
Thank you. Next up is the educational plant spot survey. This again goes hand in hand with our capital improvement plan. I alluded to the educational plant survey that we did back in June of 2021. That was done at a time, of course, during right in the midst of the pandemic. A lot of our utilization FTE student stations were primarily on the Daytona campus at that time. We now, the mechanism to, when you have changes and want to do growth on other campuses, you go to the state and ask for a spot survey on those campuses in order to shift some of those stations over to the remote campuses that are in need. So this goes hand in hand. All CIP projects must be survey recommended. So if it's not done on an educational plant survey, it's a spot survey that covers the basis. So we would need a board action on this item to approve.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Like sign? It's approved.
Thank you. Next up, more Hurricane Ian damage, unfortunately. This is the News Journal Center. I alluded to the roof earlier. This is the exhaust fans, which also unfortunately allowed some water to get in through the fans that were damaged. Now we took this out to competitive bid. Two responders, as you can see. The lowest bid was Vista Cooling Services in the amount of $261,000 even. We are recommending that that the board approve us to enter into a contract with Vista Cooling to perform the work.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Like sign? All right.
Thank you. Last facilities item would be our updates to our elevators per Kone Elevators recommendations. Coming up, there's a new law that set in motion January 24. All our elevators must have a door lock monitoring system for safety purposes. So in order to address both the door lock devices as well as current needs of other failures on some of our elevators have equipment that's just failing over time due to age and so forth, we've put forth a plan here, a three-year plan to fund these particular elevator issues. What we're asking the board for here is to approve year number one funding of $696,292 to be funded from our Fund 7 board designated reserves to put the plan in motion for this coming fiscal year.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign? Approved.
Thank you.
Right. I'll never pick on my wife for spending too much money on Amazon again.
Tell me about it.
Do you need to take a break, Marty, or are you ready to go?
Let's keep it going.
All right.
All right. So here's our monthly financial report for our financial report for May 31st, 2023. 11 months into the fiscal year, one to go. So through May 31st, you can see we've collected now $27.1 million, or 98% of our tuition and fee revenue. Looking good there. We collected $52.1 million, or 92% of our state revenues, $6.3 million, or 90% of our other revenue sources, and $2.7 million, or 100% of our board-approved transfers. So through May 31st, we've now collected $88.2 million, 94% of the $93.8 million budget. So we're in great shape to realize our full revenue budget by June 30th. Looking at the expenditure side, we've now expended $58.1 million, or 83% of our personnel costs. We've obligated $17.4 million, or 85% of our current expense budget, Of that, $15.2 million of actual expenditures and still $2.2 million tied to purchase orders and encumbered. We've obligated $2.3 million, 76% of our capital outlay budget. As you can see, $1.6 million of actual expenditures and still $675,000 outstanding encumbrances. So in total, we've now obligated $77.7 million or 83% of our operational budget of $93.8 million. If you take away the encumbrances there at the bottom, we've expended nearly $75 million or 80% of the operational budget. Okay, this slide, we always show our Fund 1 fund balance, where we started the year. Those numbers haven't changed, $18.3 million to start. Of that, $5.1 million is our 5% state required reserve, $2.4 million board designated reserve, $9.7 of unallocated reserves, and then $1.1 million was the year-end, last year-end's rollover of encumbrances and certain designated reserves. As of May 31st, we're projecting a fund balance of $22.5 million. This takes a look at our revenue year over year, a comparison. So through May 31st, we've collected 94% of our revenue. And at the same point in time last year, we collected 93% of our operational revenue, very consistent. This particular slide, we always show our tuition and fee revenue. As you can see, we're up from last year, just over 900,000. We've collected almost 27.1 million versus 26.1 million at the same point last year. That's about a 3.5% increase in student tuition and fee revenue. So we're in pretty good shape. We think we're gonna maybe come just shy of our budget. I think we budgeted 27.4 million to start the year. And we think we'll land right around 27.3. Taking a look at the actual expenditures, budget to actual year over year. Personnel, you can see we've expended 83%, spent 80% of our personnel budget at the same time last year. We've obligated 85% of current expenses, 85% also last year. And then our capital outlay is at 76% through May this year. And we were a little further along last year at 91%. Okay, shifting over to our Fund 7 capital project budget. This is the slide that shows all of our major funding sources and accounts. That summarized is right here. We've started the year with nearly $50 million. We've now received cash and appropriations of $7.9 million. Total obligations of $26.8 million this year. Of that, $17.7 million expended and another $9 million encumbered, still tied to purchase orders with construction contracts and so forth. So this would result in a almost $31 million fund balance through May 31st. Of that, $9.6 million is committed to date and the remaining $21.3 million is uncommitted. This slide, or next two slides, depict our major projects that we have in progress currently. Anything over $100,000, we highlight on this particular slide. So you can see we have 17 major projects ongoing currently to the tune of $34.4 million estimated budget. The only items that you hadn't seen yet from the last board meeting are the last two there. News Journal Center escalator repair, was a new project put on, and that with an expected completion date of August 2023, and then the Weld Street sidewalk repair right out here on this campus with a July 2023 target date. This shows our completed projects of the majors, you know, that were started during the year. We had a couple that wrapped up, our master site plan, finished up in April 2023, and our Building 150 UC Hall renovation, just finished up last month. I am pleased to report both these projects together came in total about 84,000 below what our budgeted number was. So we came in under budget on each of these projects. All right, that gets us through our May 31st financial report. If you have any questions or comments, be glad to entertain.
Questions or comments?
great progress. I just comment on, you know, the fiscal discipline. Having been in a discussion yesterday with our accrediting entity, SAC COC, and knowing what the focus is on financial responsibility of this board, and to see what is done by the administration and making sure that, that we're being very careful with the dollars and every tuition dollar, and our record of not raising tuition for such a long period of time is something that I think we can all be proud of. But thank you, Marty, for all the great work. This is excellent.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I really couldn't do it without my team. You know, Dr. Lobasso alluded to it earlier. Great finance team. Got a great budget team. Jim Zablosky, Tina Myers, you know, they're all part of that team that we have in place. And it takes a village, right, to get this all done. And, you know, I'm very appreciative of that group. Okay, so the next informational item is all payments made in May over $50,000 individually. You'll see that list here. Nothing out of the ordinary. Okay, my next item in the along the finance is uncollectible student accounts receivable. Each year we bring this item to the board for these are receivables that have now 3 years old. We've done, we've taken all measures to try to collect the debt from students, including sent to collections. Unable to collect, so our policy is to write those bad debts off after 3 years. So this relates to the 19-20 academic year, in the amount of $350,658.65. That only represented, a small percentage, 1.05% of the revenues brought in that particular year. This is a drastic reduction of what we brought in prior years for write-offs. Reason being, if you remember, we got the HERF federal stimulus funds and we were able to write off student debt, use those funds to write off student debt, and we did that. So this year, 1920, was the year the pandemic hit, so it was almost a split year, but for the students that didn't quite make it, you know, this was some of that old debt that needs to be addressed. So this particular write-off does require board action.
Just a quick question before we take the action. I know I've asked you this question before. You continue to collect quote unquote uncollectible debt, right?
Yes, sir. And actually, that's a good point, Bob. I meant to actually highlight it. It's highlighted there in the $92,253 was old debt previously written off that we received this current fiscal year. So students will still have their transcripts withheld, holds on their accounts. If they try to come back to school or get transcripts, we ask them to pay off their debt. So we did receive $92,000 on previously written off debt.
Motion to approve.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Yeah, I think the leverage that you have, you know, focusing on release of transcripts, diplomas, and so forth, that has a pretty compelling effect on collecting debt. But that's unfortunate. You know, it's nobody likes to see those uncollectible ARs. So anyway, any further discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Like sign? Stands approved.
Thank you. My apologies, Randy. I got the name wrong. Randy, not Bob.
We get confused. We're confused. So
yes,
it's okay for you.
Very easy. Record.
Our next item is also an item that we bring each year as it relates to our two DSOs, so the Foundation and the Housing Corporation. We must get authorization from the Board of Trustees to utilize personnel in common as well as square footage and office space. These items have been went to each of the respective boards and were approved in the form of their recertification agreements. And now we're asking for our board to take it into consideration and approve, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, like sign? Stands approved.
Thank you. And all the backup as required is behind, it's in your packets of the personnel that make up and positions that make up those particular areas, as well as the square footage that's outlined for the Housing Corp and the foundation. Next up is our deferred maintenance funding proposal. Again, this has been very common over the last several years, where we want to set aside funds for our deferred, ongoing deferred maintenance as identified on all of our campuses. The $13 million that I referenced earlier that came through the federal to the state has helped address some of our projects, but certainly not all of them. So with that, we've come up with what we think is an adequate number for next year, $4.3 million. And it's divvied up between our renovation, general renovation and remodeling, $2.1 million, $1.65 million for maintenance repair items. And then we always cover the facilities planning, payroll, and benefits for $507,755. So in total, we're requesting the board to approve $4.3 million from our board designated reserves that sit in our Fund 7 account.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, like sign? It's approved.
Thank you. Next item up kind of goes hand in hand with the one I just went over. In order to get those Fund 7 board designated reserves, the college, has been fortunate, kind of like Trustee Lloyd alluded to earlier, when we come in under expended in our Fund 1 operating or better on the revenue side, it allows us to have some rollover funds in our Fund 1 operating budget. By doing that those rollover funds each year, we're allowed to transfer some of that excess over to those areas that are in need. And the big need is our Fund 7 capital projects. Some of the projects that we get funded through our CIP, a lot of times it'll require a significant college match. Some projects we take on our own. So that's all that this is asking for. Very similar to our strategy the last several years, we're just asking for up two amounts until we close out this fiscal year and really know what we're working with in Fund 1 to be able to transfer. So with that, we're asking for the board to consider a Fund 1 transfer to Fund 7 up to $7 million and a Fund 1 transfer to Fund 3 up to $2 million as required by state statute. We must bring these forward for approval.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yes. So, Lordy, rates, interest rates, investment rates are higher. These funds qualify for an investment rate, and what's the current rate of return, do you know?
That's a good question. We're currently heavily invested in both SPIA and SBA. Now, SPIA has been very light. The rate's running still only around 2%. So we're moving a lot of those funds out to SBA right now, which is I haven't seen it lately, but I know it's in the fours, at a minimum, 4.5%, I want to say. And we're also talking to, we may have some outside banking institutions come in and take a look at of our intermediate funds, that 6 to 9 month investment, and possibly put it in some other avenues that could earn upwards of 5 to 6% potentially. So regardless of where we send this money from Fund 1 to Fund 7, it's invested in the same types of devices that I'm talking about.
I would say probably on that, especially if you're under a year in that 6 to 9 month category, you could probably get in those mid fives that, right now, is the way the treasuries are. And obviously there's certain types of funds we can only put them in. The other concern that I always have with SBA is they have shown it historically that they can sometimes be slow to release funds in liquidity crunches. And so there's not having all of our eggs in that basket would be beneficial too. But definitely I think right now we can take advantage of
we're on board, yeah. Well, I certainly agree, Gary. I think that's a good point. And actually, with our foundation, we put a little money into a new avenue called Florida Prime, and that's for that one that 365-day maturity. You can pick your maturity, different rates, and it's doing well. I want to say 5 to 6% area. So we're gonna look at some of those avenues for the college. But we were, like Gary said, we're kind of bound by certain rules on the college, more so than our DSOs. So we have to be careful from an audit standpoint that we don't get ourselves tied up into something that they perceive more risky than the current tools.
Yeah, no, I was not really talking about the risk as much as just that we're not, you know, getting 25 basis points or something right. Like that. That's all. Thank you for the
sure.
Answer.
Great points. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved.
Okay, so last, certainly not least, the college's fiscal year 23-24 annual budget. I'd just like to start by saying, you know, the governor signed the budget into legislation formally last Thursday, a week from today. And the Florida College System, as we all have probably heard and know by now, did very well this year. You know, overall, it was a $1.7 billion operational budget for the Florida College System as a whole. That's up $205 million from last year, or 13.4%. So I can tell you, this CFO and this president were pleased and appreciative, very appreciative of the state funding for the overall Florida College System, and certainly for Daytona State College. It was a big win for all. And really, it couldn't have come at better timing, right? We talk about the last few years, we've been living off, to an extent, our federal HERF dollars, which was exactly the purpose of that money, is to get us by the tough times caused by the pandemic, lower enrollments during, you know, some of these years, and certainly escalating costs across the board with inflation, you name it, utilities on down the road. So good year to have, a little boost in funding to our budgets.
Look,
Lynn, I'm not getting that slide change.
Well, me neither.
Okay. This is just a test. All right. And I know you all have the budget presentation in your packets, and you've been through it in a little finer detail. So we'll hit the highlights. This was really just showing our overall budget planning design principles. We keep the process very fair and equitable. All departments get to participate in the budget process. It's really a collaborative effort, aligns with our college's strategic planning process. So again, I think the process went very well this year. A lot of work by a lot of folks, and a lot of data gathering and sorted through, certainly by my budget office, which again, I'm very appreciative of. This highlights our different funds, right? Funds 1 through 9 are the fund structure of the college. We're required to bring to you and to the state of Florida only funds 1 and 7, so that's what we highlight in this budget. With maybe a sheet a little bit about the other funds, but funds 1 and 7 are the primary focal points. This kind of overview of our budget priorities, I'll just bring your attention down to the bottom. These are items that we typically fund out of those fund balance rollover funds that I was speaking to earlier. Again, the deferred maintenance in fund 7 is a big one. Our risk management, this 75% confidence level, that's the assessment that was brought on by the hurricane from several years ago. So we're now on our fourth and final assessment. I think this year it's going to be about $216,000. So multiply that by 4. That's what we paid in, as did some of the other colleges with their particular assessment amounts. Equipment refresh. Each year we prioritize and have the department submit their equipment refresh needs. TV station support, operational support from Fund 1, and then our grant matching dollars is the other item we typically take from our fund balance. All right. right. The key budget points, again, I would say the big headliner is no increase in student tuition and fees tied to tuition. All right, that has stayed flat for 13 years in a row, and actually we decreased tuition several years back by 2%. So what I'm really saying, there's been no increase in 13 years. In fact, there was a decrease that, you know, again, 5 or so years ago. Number two there, we are projecting an increase in enrollment for next year based on where we're seeing the current year land. So we have a 4% increase built into the budget. The next item is a $650,000 non-recurring project that was funded by the state for the database security protection and monitoring system to protect our data. That'll pass through Fund 1 and come in and then be expended in a similar fashion. The next few projects were also big wins for the college. You know, these will go to directly to our Fund 7 Capital Project Fund, and we'll get started next year. That is the Palm Coast Road and Pedestrian Path Lighting Amphitheater Improvements Project for $3.3 million. The Land Tactical Training and Pavilion and PT Course, $4.8 million. And the Modernization of the Auto Collision Program at the ATC for $550,000. So all should be big enhancements to those particular campuses, and we're again thrilled to get the funding. Next one is the Student Incentive Funds. We've been getting this these two components of funding for the last several years. Combined this year is about a $20,000 increase from the prior year. The last item there is we feel it's also a big win for us this year. Dr. Labasso has been on this on this one for the last 7 or so years in attempts to get the proviso language changed permanently in Florida statute. This is the year that we had success. It is permanently in Florida statute now, and as a result, we'll receive that funding more easily year after year. And I can tell you, last year it was about $320,000 that we get from this particular state funding source for our TV station. So it's that was a solid win. Okay, next item is the fee updates. So here's the group of small group of fees that are changing. This was the student user fees. These are direct cost type items that pass through based on actual expenditures. So it's a direct pass through. We're not allowed to earn any extra revenue on these particular fees. And
if I can, I want to reiterate, direct pass through. And the access fee, which was mentioned in the newspaper, just to give a little perspective, has been changed several times in the last decade. It's gone down most of the time, but it has gone up twice by 2 cents, two different times. And then this now with 12 cents?
12 cents.
Per hour. So, but again, these are direct costs. So tuition and fees for students that are tied to their tuition has remained the same for 13 years, and that's the bulk of the tuition. That's the bulk of a student bill.
So the access fee, 12 cents per credit hour, a very modest. Graduation fee, we went up $5 per degree type, and I can tell you that still doesn't cover the full cost of our commencement. So the college could have, you know, could have went up $10 or $12, to be honest, to cover the full cost, but the college has decided to go gradually, and we'll cover the remaining costs for next year where the deficit may lie. And then the new fee is an application fee, new to us, but not new to the vast majority of colleges and universities, right? We're all aware of our days when we applied, we had an application fee. This is a $15 new proposed fee, and the primary purpose is honestly to combat some of the cybersecurity issues that we're starting to see, the hackers and penetration into our system. Once they get in, it can run havoc through applying for financial aid, just all sorts of fraud and different things. So this is more a deterrent, but also something that we feel is just. The bottom several fees are staying exactly the same, and for no other reason other than when we reviewed them, which we do annually, the calculations called for that same model as a direct pass through, and they were adequate. won't spend too much time on this. I think we hit it pretty hard, right? Student two, our tuition rates and the fees tied to tuition, like financial aid, P-TECH fee, all are 5 or 10% of tuition rates, stayed exactly the same. So it's the same lower division rates as last year and the last several. Same with upper division, no change here. Absolutely the same rate. This is almost just a reiteration of all of our other student fees, and it's got also the lab fees on here. We show it on this slide, a range of our lab fees down there. The larger one, that's kind of an outlier. That would be for like the welding program, for instance, where everything is just the equipment is very, very expensive. Again, just a direct pass through. The majority of the fees are much lower than $1,500. Okay, here's our, I mentioned student enrollment earlier, that we projected a 4% increase in enrollment. So you can see this is by discipline, the planned and budgeted credit hours. Down to your far bottom right is the 28.5 million that we think we're gonna land, that we're budgeting for next year. And that's based on hopefully coming in right around 27.3 million this year. That's what we projected it off of. Again, this is tuition and all fees as outlined here, including the new application fee. This depicts where we think we're going to land in the current year. This is trying to get a handle on our rollover funds. As I mentioned, we use those funds for to help out the other areas. So we think from a revenue standpoint, we'll land right around 93 million. On the expense side, right around 88.5 million. If that works out the way we hope, it will have about a 4.4 million rollover amount. And as you saw from a previous memo, we'll be sending that the majority of that off to probably Fund 7 and Fund 3 to help with those initiatives. Here's a comparison of our state appropriations. Okay, so last year you can see we're just under 57 million, 56.9. This year, 64.8. If you remove the nursing pipeline funding, which was new last year and luckily is reoccurring this year, we got a bump of you can see 550,000 thereabouts. But if you remove those, the state looks at, we look at all the other sources are really our program reoccurring funds. Traditionally, that amounted to just over 7 million and right at 13.4%, which was interestingly the same percentage that the state funding increased for the Florida college system as a whole. So we were kind of right on that mark and feel good about the increase in our appropriations. Looking here now, this is not just state appropriations, this is also student tuition and fee revenue, so it's our total Fund 1 budget here is the 99.1 million. Last year, we started the year at about 90.5 million. So this is about a 9.5% increase in the overall scope of the Fund 1 budget. And you can see on the left there, how it's diced up with the chart, the different sources, and then to the right, our big ticket items, personnel, current expenses, and capital. All right. So I'll take a breath there. That was our Fund 1 side of the budget. Then we're going to shift over to Fund 7. Any questions or comments on the Fund 1 side?
I just wanted to make, I made a comment the other day when I looked at that Fund 1, and we're knocking on the door of $100 million. And over time, it would be interesting to see the progression to get to that $100 million mark. That's pretty historic. And again, when you balance that with what we are doing and what we're delivering for students, that's pretty impressive. So, and keeping their tuition flat for 13 years running, that's great.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a look at Fund 7. Fund 7, we think we're going to end this year or begin next year with a $55.4 million fund balance on hand. That may do. If you look at your slides from my financial presentation, that you wouldn't really see that. Reason being is that year end we do a lot of accounts receivable and revenue accrual type of adjustments, bringing the revenue in for the current year. So good example is that $13 million of deferred maintenance. it was appropriated to us at this current year, but we can only draw it down as we utilize the money. But at year end, we're required to actually bring all that money through an AR adjustment into revenue in the year it was given to us. So that $13 million will land in the Fund 7 fund balance number. Going down, so the current revenues for Fund 7 would be our capital improvement fees that come into there directly. That is one fee that is tied to tuition and by statute must come into this particular source. Capital outlay and debt service, get a little funding there, about $50,000. And then the three new projects we spoke about earlier, the Palm Coast project, the land campus pavilion, and the ATC project are all new revenue sources coming in next year. From a budget perspective, we show those same projects going out on the expense side and along with our facilities planning payroll that you approved earlier as part of that other initiative. And then as you come down, we also do a debt service payment each year, paying down our SunTrust loans that we've had on hand for a bit. So $994,217 is the amount for next year to come out of Fund 7. And we're at $10.2 million of total uses. The next one shows a laundry list of the projects that we have either through that deferred maintenance, the $13 million, or identified internally through our deficiencies and projects that need to be done around all of our campuses that we need to address and we thought were important to start next year, as well as projects that are currently in progress like the Firearms Training Center in DeLance here. So what we're saying, as you can see at the top, is a proposed use of fund balance. This money is already on hand, and now we're just essentially rebudgeting the funds and being very transparent, as the state would like us to do with our Fund 7 budgets, show the projects, be detailed, and this is us doing that. Not to say that we'll get to every project next year or complete them, but we did want to show them on our budget. Okay, the same exact budget that you just saw for Fund 7, this is the same numbers, just divvied up a different way. This is by funding source, so going across the top, we've got the local funds, other state funding, CONDS, and PICO. Again, another requirement just to show where the money lies and where we're doing the spending from. And as we move forward, here's that same list of projects, and again, just divvied up by funding source. You can see the second column, that's where that $13 million deferred maintenance is. And you can see that's a heavy hitter of a lot of projects in that particular category, including that $800,000 for the Building 100 roof, about just under halfway down the page. All right, I apologize for this slide being a little busy, a little tough on the eyes. This is really to show our transfers among different funds. It is important, great footnotes at the bottom as we normally do to depict what we're doing. I like to show it on the next slide, much cleaner, easier to read. The highlights and these transfers, again, when we transfer funds out of Fund 1 to another fund, even 3 to 5, we must get board approval. So we'll be asking that as part of the budget after I get through here to approve both the budget and the transfers delineated here within the budget. First one is our grant matching. We bumped up that amount to $700,000 just to the sheer volume of grants we've been receiving that require cash matches. We felt it important to raise that number a bit, so $700,000 there. TV station operational support for $300,000, Fund 1 to Fund 2. Scholarships for our athletes and other student population, Fund 3 auxiliary funds to our Fund 5 scholarship fund for $750,000. Marketing, hospitality, tuition reimbursement program, that's $700,000 that goes from our auxiliary funds back to our Fund 1 operating fund. And then the two debt service payments together, those total our annual debt service. We take a piece of it out of Fund 3 and 3/4 of it out of Fund 7, goes to Fund 8, our debt service fund. And I promise I won't quiz you on these funds at the end of this. All right, I think we got through the annual budget. If you have any questions, feel free.
Great job. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments, discussion?
I just think it's well done, thorough. And whether I'm living in La La Land or not, I tend to believe I understand it. So
I tend to think you do too. You always raise some good questions, Randy.
Anything else? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign? It's approved with our compliments.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Locklear, I think you're up.
Good afternoon. I have three items for which I ask your approval. The first is our annual lab fee recommendations. Got a little packet on them. Some went up, some went down. They are tied directly to increased prices for materials, from software to the physicals, lab equipment that's used in the classrooms. I'll be glad to answer any particular questions about one of them, should you have it. But we ask for your approval of these fees.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion?
And this is, again, another direct, just a direct pass-through like the access fee. So I always use the frog example. The frog in the biology lab costs $5, we charge $5. So
that's hoping goes down. Anyway. Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Like sign? Approved.
Thank you. The next item is a new program that we are proposing for the ATC. This is a 1,050-hour vocational program in diesel mechanic technician.
Is there a motion?
Yes, so moved.
Second.
Moved and second. And any discussion? All in favor?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry to cut you off.
I have a feeling there's a lot of companies out there, and Randy, you can probably speak to this better than I, that are going to love seeing this vocational certificate in place.
There's no doubt. I mean, there's a massive need. So, and it's happening around us, so it's good that we're going to get to happen at home. So,
I believe we'll have some marketing efforts behind this to get out to, like, the Volusia Manufacturers Association and places like that. And
We'll do massive marketing behind it. We still have to get this is the academic piece, which will be ready to go, and then the other piece we have to get is the remodeling or extension at the ATC to build.
Okay.
So it's somewhat contingent on, we want to be ready though. So academically we'll be ready as long as we get the funding to put an extension out at the ATC.
Way to keep on your front foot.
That's right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Like sign? Approved.
Thank you. And lastly, approval of course deletions. Every year we go through the catalog and look for any courses that have not been offered in 5 years or that we have removed from a program. There are 13 courses listed here that we're not using anymore, so we'd like to get them off the books.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Like sign? Approved.
Thank you so much.
All right. We have some time reserved for constituent heads.
Okay. Thank you very much. And without further ado, we'll put our student leader up from SGA, Gael Vailing. Come on up.
Introduction, if you guys don't know me, I'm Gael Battalion, the SGA president. I'm currently majoring in healthcare management. I'm going to transfer to Gatorland.
Healthcare management.
I'm writing it all down.
Management.
This past spring, we had a very good turnout for the elections. As you can see, we had 8 elected positions. We currently have 5 more that we had apply over the last week. We are in process of approving those and putting them in the position at our next meeting. So far, we have to introduce, we have me, Guy Otai, as president, Savinia Henderson as VP, Tanisha Bryan as executive secretary, Nevea Bibavek as VP of Flagler, Noah Maynard at the ATC campus, and Hannah Carmel for academic affairs, and Amaya Macina for the senator of activities, and Jose Lopez as parliament. Over at the ATC, we had students request microwaves over their break time and lunch time. With only having the two microwaves they had currently, they were in desperate need of having some time to microwave their food in the quick hurry they have. So we, SGA voted and discussed on a budget for three commercial-sized microwaves to add onto their campus. With that, Student Life has helped and approved on the budget as well. If you can see, that's the microwave, and you see they delivered it last Thursday, and this is just from the 10-minute break they had students lined up to use. Right now, we are currently planning for the fall of 2023. We have some ideas coming up, like beach cleanup, club wars, scavenger hunts around campus, movie nights outside and inside indoors. As summer progresses, we continue to plan and further on what we would like to do for future semesters. Moving on to intramurals, we have a desperate need for intramurals as students are constantly asking for them on campus. In the fall, SGA will begin intramurals indoor, and then students need. We are currently looking for advisors. Desperate need of advisors for them. So, if you know anyone, please let me know. As of this week, we have planned the club banquet, which is our biggest event of the school year. It's planned for April 9th of 2024. We began discussing a few themes: the Wild West, the Great Gatsby, Enchanted Forest, Black and White Ball, Alice in the Wonderland. SGA is very excited. We had a very great turnout with this one this past semester, and we just can't wait for our next semester, our spring semester. And that is all I have for today.
Thank you so much, Gael.
Thank you.
Look forward to another great year. And for Administrative Council, we have Alicia Alexander.
Good afternoon, everyone. So the Administrators Council had its last meeting of the year, which was on June 14th. It was a light schedule, but we did do some pretty heavy things. So first, we reviewed our bylaws, and there were no changes. And then also, we announced our new officers for the upcoming year. Our new chair is going to be the Associate Vice President of the College of Business and Engineering Technology, and that's Dante Leon. I don't think he's here. Our Vice Chair is our fearless leader at the New Smyrna Edgewater Campus, Anaris Inman, and he is here. Thank you. All right, and then our secretary is our director of the Hope Center, Rebecca Collins. I don't think Rebecca's here, but we thank her for her role. And then at the time of the meeting, we hadn't had confirmation of the candidate accepting the treasurer position, but we do. So this is hot and fresh information. So our new treasurer is going to be Charles C. Courtney, and she is the Director of Custodial and Groundskeeping Services. So if you see these individuals, thank them. I appreciate them stepping up and taking on this role with the council. I also want to thank our current officers, my fellow officers who helped me throughout the past 2 years. So our Vice Chair is Frank Mercer, and Secretary is Lisa Kugel, and our treasurer the wonderful comptroller, Tina Myers. So I thank them so much. I had a very interesting 2022 year. and so my presidency was a little bit different than normal, being on maternity leave, well, being pregnant first, and then going on maternity leave, and then coming back, and then working on SACS, and pretty much not being able to do anything else. So I thank them so much for stepping in and helping out when I couldn't be there. So the new officers take place, or their term starts August 1. And so at that board meeting, you will see a new admin council president. So thank you all so much. It has been a pleasure coming up before you every month or so to give an update and get to know what's going on in the college. I'll probably still be here because I have still have to know what's going on. Again, I just thank you all so much. So have a great one. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you, Alicia, for your service. And looks like stepping in for John is Sandy Hancock for Career Employees Association.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sandy Hancock. I know you probably don't know me. I've been here for 28 years with the college. Mm-hmm. I have stepped in to be the vice president of the Career Employees. We have been not had one for over a year. We also now have a secretary as well, which is Teresa Littleberg. We have both come on board to help out. Our last meeting, we've been planning the ice cream social that we do every year. We have moved it from July to the fall planning so that we could hit more faculty and career employees on campus and not interfere with the student clubs and labs that are going on this summer. And we plan on having a presence on each campus. We are also working right now to choose our next student scholarship award for $500 for the summer. And we are going through applications and we'll be announcing those soon. And we are always looking at what are we going to do next to raise money for student scholarships. So right now we're talking about doing a bazaar if we can possibly run it in probably late November. But that's all I have for you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. And for Faculty Senate, Paul Capps.
Good afternoon. Senate does not meet over the summer, so we have not met since the last board meeting. However, I'd like to just mention a couple of things. First of all, it's always a great day to be a Falcon, but I'm also going to throw out a quick TKL, go Gators. All right. I'd also like to publicly congratulate, I've already done it privately, but publicly congratulate Dr. Holmes on her new position as Associate Vice President and my colleague for the last 16 years. So very happy to see her. I've been in the habit for the last 15 to 20 years of calling my chair, Mark Campbell, boss. So now you're the boss boss. Or boss
square. Yeah. That's right.
And then finally, I would like to take the time to gratefully acknowledge what, at least from the faculty, for most of the faculty, that this year the raise that has just been passed is the most significant raise we've seen in across the board in some time. So once again, we would like to thank the Budget Committee. We would like to thank Dr. Lobasso, and we would like to thank the Board of Trustees for approving the raise. And also the longevity part it is also greatly appreciated for those of us who have been here since 2007. and so thank you all. Okay.
Thank you, Paul. And for Professional Counsel, Gina Clark.
Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. I am enjoying this. So for the Professional Council, not a whole lot's happening. We did just have our elections, so I am the new president. April Brunning remained the vice president. Ruth Corley is now our new secretary. Ebony McCoy is our technology specialist. Noah Douglas is our activities director, and Joanne Barrios is our treasurer. We have our first meeting next Thursday on the 29th, and we're just kind of going to go over all the stuff that we learned today. But we're also starting to plan our October door decorating contest, and we're thinking about some other fundraising opportunities to give back to the college whenever we can. I also have decided this, or we decided together, but we wanted to start having our meetings at 1 on every campus. Normally they're all teams meetings, and they'll still be a teams meeting, but we were thinking that we might get more involvement if we actually were on all of the campuses. So we're scheduled September for Deltona and November for New Smyrna, and I'm waiting for the secretaries to get back with me, but we're planning February and April to be on the Flagler and on the DeLand campus. But we're hoping that we might be able to be more visible, and it's still okay to come in teams, but we all just was hoping to reach out a little bit more. So that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Gina. That concludes the constituent report.
All right. Thank you. I have some time reserved here for the board chair's update, and since I'm not the chairman, that's going to make it pretty quick for all of us. But just a couple of remarks. First of all, looking at the 23-24 budget, and not just what we are doing for the students, but again, Paul, you mentioned it, you know, we are so proud of this faculty and everything that you all do to enhance student achievement here, and you know, you're not to be forgotten in any of these discussions, and it's, you know, foremost in our minds as we talk about what's in the best interest of students. You're the tip of the spear, so we appreciate that. And then again, Dr. Labasso and Marty and staff, I mean, this is an exceptionally well done budget. And you know, when I look at our statutory responsibilities as trustees, and then going through the accreditation process with SAC COC, again, it is such a primary purpose of why we're here. You know, I think of the two things, it's approving this budget and making sure that we are exercising proper financial oversight, and it's attending commencement and seeing our finished product, you know, here as an institution. So very, very well done. Gael, you rocked it at commencement exercises, and so proud of you and where you're going. And I have to say, go Gators. So, and go Falcons. And now I'm going to go in reverse order, and I'm going to turn it over to Gary.
Thank you, Bob. First off, I want to say thank you to the governor and our state legislature for not only approving our priorities, legislative priorities, but also to the budget increase. And in turn, I want to say thank you to Tom and Marty and the whole team for what they did in terms of finding the way to get us to what Bob was just describing in terms of really saying thank you to Paul and everybody out there on our staff for what they did. And the way they this was all structured, recognizing longevity, but also recognizing that we needed to make some serious adjustments within our salary ranges and so forth. And this coming off of these last couple of years with way more inflation than any of us wish we had to deal with. And, you know, it's something that I'm really proud of the way we were able to accomplish this. The Marty Show, Marty, you know, you weren't even a 30-minute TV show today. I mean, you were a one-hour, you know, special. So
we'll expect some Celsius or Monster the next time.
Hey, really? What a great job by you and your team. I know it was said already, but I want to reiterate just a great job of bringing this all into a way. And as Randy said, that we could all understand it even, or at at least we think we do, right, Randy?
For now.
So thank you to everybody for everything that you're doing, and thank you, Bob, for leading us today.
Yeah, nice job, Bob.
Thank you.
I'm going to get on the Marty train, too. It was really so nice. Everything was so prepared and so well done, even in our preparation meetings and, of course, today. So thank you to you and your team. But, you know, to get there, it's been a lot of work way before me to get us to where we are, and so to those who have served prior. But I echo what everyone's saying, you know, it's tough times out there, and here we are getting able to readjust salary structures, getting to allocate for raises. And we can thank a lot of people for that along the way, but I do think we got to keep our legislature in mind. They did a really, really nice job for us as Falcons and also for our community. So I'm just really proud to be part of this board and to serve with you all, and to get to have this kind of budget for next year is pretty incredible.
I won't take quite as much time as you did, Marty. I agree with Kelly. The legislature did a great job. I mean, it was really, a good session. But that's a result of, you know, a lot of hard work. I think when you take a look at resources, you say, well, if they have this much resources, they can do this much good. Wonder if they have this much more resources, how much more good? I think it's really, yeah, it's great, but it's earned. You've earned it, and I think we've all earned it. And the confidence comes in know how those resources will be deployed. And I do think it's important always to note a no increase in tuition is really remarkable. In 13 years, that's remarkable. And you think about the decisions that were made during COVID that didn't put us in the ditch, that allowed us to be able to continue to do this. And I think maybe one of the most exciting pieces of the budget conversation, or the bedtime story, if whatever you want to call it, was the 4% increase in tuition that we can look forward to. Well, I mean, I'm talking about the coming from student increase, middle
enrollment.
Yeah. You know, where we're gonna have more people.
Right.
I always think that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to do a couple of corrections here.
Well, I told you we were confused. But I mean, when you think about, I've thought about Daytona State, and for a long time, I believe it was a pretty well-kept secret. And, you know, when you start thinking about college tuition and ROI, there's no better deal.
That's right.
And I think people are finally getting more and more aware of that. And as you expand programs that are where there's a need. Good paying jobs, the result of what the degrees are good paying jobs, more and more people are going to continue to take advantage of it. So all kidding aside, job well done. Bob, you did a great job too.
Thank you. I do want to make sure the record reflects no tuition increase.
Right, I said earlier.
And by the way, everybody fully understands the budget and was very attentive in the process.
I had celebrated with y'all when the governor signed it, and was remiss to say that the budget was signed and all of our projects, you know, were approved. So shout out to the governor and our local delegation, Senator Hudson, and obviously Speaker Renner and Rep. Tom Leak. Did a really, really great job, supporting the college. We got the land project, we got the Palm Coast project, we got the auto body modernization and our cybersecurity assistance. So, I think I was so excited when it was all signed, I flew off my head. I talked to everyone at the time when it happened, but I did want to publicly, thank the legislature and as well as the governor. So, thank you.
Before we adjourn, I did leave out, I'm glad I got the compliments before I made this cleanup. But there are some opportunities for professional development. You'll see those at page 446 of your materials. There is an ACCT meeting, and it's, I know this is a tough ask, it's October 9th through 12th in Las Vegas. So, you know, just throwing it out there, no motions necessary, but if you're interested, take advantage of those professional development opportunities. And that's it. We are adjourned unless there's any further business. We stand adjourned.
Okay, thank you.